Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen.
Amen.
Are you able to hear me better when I use this?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you, Gloria, for offering me this. Many years ago, when I was preparing for my first silent retreat, I went on this experience with a lot of trepidation. I'm a very strong extrovert, and I love to be around people. So the prospect of being in silence for a number of days was not entirely appealing to me, but having taken an oath of obedience to my bishop, who strongly recommended such a retreat, I went willingly, sort of. The retreat leader was giving us a lot of instructions prior to the retreat so that the rest of the time would unfold peacefully and in silence. And there were all the normal instructions about where the restrooms were and what the structure of the days would be, how the worship services would unfold, what it would be like to eat your meals in silence, which for me was one of the hardest things, to eat in silence. But the most difficult instruction came when the retreat leader said to me, in addition, well, not just to me, but I felt like it was directed toward me, in addition to having custody of your tongues, which is meaning being in silence, you are to have custody of your gaze during this time of retreat. We all looked at her with a fair amount of confusion and said, custody of our gaze? And she said, there is so much communication that happens between people when your eyes meet, or when you are just looking around and observing what's going on around you in different ways, that in order to truly be in silence, we ask that you keep your gaze mostly pointed toward the floor, and you do not intentionally meet another person's eyes. So this means that if you're walking up to a door frame together and two people are coming, you don't look at each other and offer, you know, those little silent motions that you would typically make out of graciousness and human courtesy. But if the other person was deeply in prayer at that moment, you're meeting their gaze and drawing them out of that space of prayer to engage with you in even the slightest way could detract from their retreat experience. That was extraordinarily wise advice for a strong extrovert who probably would have spent her entire retreat trying to catch people's eyes and smile and wave and, you know, somehow have some human connection instead of focusing on sinking deeply into prayer and being with God in silence. That idea of custody of the gaze has come back to me many, many, many times over the years. And it has relevance for me in all sorts of areas of my life. Now, just yesterday, I took a bike ride down to Edgartown, and it was a little bit into it before I realized that I was paying a lot of attention to the cute little biking outfits that other people had on. And, oh, if I had one of those fancy biking shirts, then I could have my water bottle right, you know, at the base of my spine, or like, oh, you know, look at that fancy little pack on the back of the bike. I wouldn't have to have my hot backpack on if I had. So instead of just enjoying one of the most exquisite bike rides in the world and feeling the breeze and listening to the birds and giving thanks that I am so physically well enough to be able to make that bike ride, I was coveting stuff because I didn't have custody of my gaze. I wonder if Jesus's admonition to Martha this morning is a lot less about what she is doing and a lot more about custody of her gaze. Because we all know that silence itself, or sitting at the feet of Jesus, does not necessarily mean that you are strongly connected and deeply listening to what our Lord might be saying to you. And we all also know that activity and busyness and doingness is very necessary in this world. And that activity itself does not necessarily mean that you are distracted and unfocused and not attentive to our Lord. But I, sharing a lot of Martha's characteristics, know exactly what it feels like to be doing a lot of work. And instead of just being focused on myself and my relationship with God, I'm constantly monitoring, well, am I doing more work than that person? Well, that person looks pretty lazy. They're not really doing anything. And, you know, last week I did more work than them too. And, well, what about all these other people who aren't even present? It almost has nothing to do with what I'm doing, but with the state of my mind about what's going on related to the activity. I imagine that for a lot of you who are hosting people constantly through the summer, that it can be very difficult to have custody of your gaze and to stay focused on where it is in your hearts and in your lives that you find peace, and not on the endless stream of guests and the needs and the meals and the cleaning and the runs to the transfer station and all that comes with constant hosting. Or even just dealing with traffic in resort communities. Living on the Cape, we know that I cannot turn left out of my driveway from Memorial Day until Labor Day. And I will often spend a number of weeks early in the season griping about the tourists who are coming down 6A and not paying attention and driving incredibly slowly and not pausing for 10 seconds to let me turn left out of my driveway. Focusing on them, custody of my gaze is not present. Looking outward, letting myself become cranky and put out by the apparent lack of concern of the people around me. Now, Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. She just as easily could have been sitting at Jesus' feet and thinking, that Sister Martha is such a busybody. Why won't she ever sit down? She makes me crazy the way she's always going around and doing this and doing that. And why can't she ever just have a moment of peace so that I don't feel guilty that I'm sitting here at the feet of our Master? She could have had all the internal chatter that matched the external busyness of her sister. But we know from Jesus' response to Mary that somehow she was able to quiet herself and simply to be present to Jesus. The gift of the reading every time Mary and Martha come around to us, and I'm sure you all have heard a million sermons about how we're both Mary and Martha, and this is, you know, not necessarily saying activity is bad and quietness is good. The invitation of this reading to me at this time in the lectionary cycle, with all of the chaos brewing in the world around us, is to have custody of the gaze in terms of paying careful attention to where we are in our bodies, in our lives, and in our spirits. Grounding ourselves in peace and attentiveness to God, however you find that. Walking in nature, sitting in some time of silence and prayer, cleaning the house, whatever. I mean, everybody finds that peace, that joy, that sense of gentility and humility, the fruits of the Spirit in different ways. Listening to music, wherever that comes for you. when you can stay grounded in yourself with your eyes pointed on God, then we have the capacity to take in the suffering that we are reading about and hearing about on an hourly basis. When the news started to break this week about all of the deaths in France, especially after all of the trauma in the United States over the last several weeks and months and years, there was, for me, an overwhelming instinct to just shut it off, to say, this is too much to bear. I cannot even allow the deaths of these 77 people to enter into me in any way. But you see, the gaze there is towards myself. When I have that response, it's too much for me, I can't handle it, I'm tired of reading all these horrible news stories, I don't know what to do about this, I feel paralyzed, I feel powerless. The custody of my gaze is not correct. I'm focused entirely on myself and what I perceive as my limitations of compassion and empathy and the ability to reach out with my heart to people who are suffering, either in this community, in this nation, or in our world. When I keep my gaze focused on Jesus and to keep grounded in whatever place of peace that I find, then the issue is not how much can I bear, but how often can I surrender my feelings and commend to God the suffering of so many people, asking for God to send the angels to comfort all who mourn, asking God to give me the strength to respond in this community, if there's some way that I'm called to do that here. But keeping my gaze focused on Jesus, staying grounded in his peace and his joy, helps me to know more rightly how to respond when the busyness of the world, either the actual busyness that comes to our lives, or the intense sorrow of busyness that enters us through the news cycle. When our gaze is grounded in God, we have the capacity to handle anything. So may Mary and Martha be your teachers this week. As you go into your daily lives, loving your friends and your families in this community, trying to have open hearts to each other and to the suffering in this world. May your gaze rest so surely and strongly on Jesus that there is nothing that shakes you, that there's nothing that takes away that peace that truly does pass all understanding and strengthens us to be God's heart and hands and voice of justice in this incredibly broken world. Amen.
Amen.